Numbers chapter 8, and we'll read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 26. Numbers chapter 8, starting in verse 1, these are God's words. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and say to him, when you arrange the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light in front of the lampstand." And Aaron did so. He arranged the lamps to face toward the front of the lampstand, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now this workmanship of the lampstand was hammered gold. From its shaft to its flowers, it was hammered work, according to the pattern which the Lord had shown Moses, so he made the lampstand. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them ceremonially. Thus you shall do to them to cleanse them. Sprinkle water of purification on them, and let them shave all their body, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. Then let them take a young bull with its grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil. And you shall take another young bull as a sin offering, and you shall bring the Levites before the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall gather together the whole congregation of the children of Israel. So you shall bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall lay their hands on the Levites. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord like a wave offering from the children of Israel, that they may perform the work of the Lord. Then the Levites shall lay their hands on the heads of the young bulls, and you shall offer one as a sin offering, and the other as a burnt offering to the Lord to make atonement for the Levites. And you shall stand the Levites before Aaron and his sons, and then offer them like a wave offering to the Lord. Thus you shall separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. After that, the Levites shall go into service the tabernacle of meeting. So you shall cleanse them and offer them like a wave offering. For they are wholly given to me from among the children of Israel. I have taken them for myself instead of all who opened the womb, the firstborn of all the children of Israel. For all the firstborn among the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them to myself. I have taken the Levites instead of all the firstborn of the children of Israel. And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and his sons from among the children of Israel, to do the work of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of meeting, and to make atonement for the children of Israel, that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come near the sanctuary." Thus Moses and all the congregation of the children of Israel did to the Levites, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so the children of Israel did to them. And the Levites purified themselves and washed their clothes. Then Aaron presented them like a wave offering before the Lord, and Aaron made atonement for them to cleanse them. After that, the Levites went in to do their work in the tabernacle of meeting before Aaron and his sons, as the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so they did to him. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This is what pertains to the Levites. From 25 years old and above, one may enter to perform service in the work of the tabernacle of meeting. And at the age of 50 years, they may cease performing this work and shall work no more. They may minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of meeting to attend to needs, but they themselves shall do no work. Thus you shall do to the Levites regarding their duties." Those are the words of our great God. We see again, as we've seen many times, the great obedience of God's people here in Numbers, especially here in the first four verses, and then we see it afterwards as well, this repeated phrase, "so they did just as the Lord had commanded." And here Aaron obeyed concerning the arranging of the lampstand in verses 1 through 4. God's people, the church, as we think of that, we need to be followers of Christ, and we need to be those who obey Him, who obey the word of the Lord. The church doesn't need partial obedience. The church needs to be fully, perfectly obedient. Otherwise, we come under the great judgment of our God. And thankful that we have Christ who is our perfect obedience for us. But that still means we need to pursue holiness and sanctification in the Lord to be holy as Christ is holy. And then in the rest of the passage, we think of Leviticus. We had the account of the ordination of the Aaronic priests. That's Aaron and his sons. But now the ordination of the rest of the Levites, the Levitical priests. They're giving up of themselves to serve the Lord, and they were to be presented to God through offerings, various offerings to the Lord. And you have this picture that in verses 11 and 13 that they are offered themselves. They are the wave offering that is offered. And so verse 19, then the Levite service shown to be a service to the Lord as they serve Aaron and his sons, the Aaronic priests. And they were in this to obey and be consecrated. And the age was set for them between 25 and 50 years old to work in the tabernacle of meeting. And so as we thought of that, verse 11 and verse 13, the Levites are the wave offering. They're the sacrifice. Instead of the firstborn of all the people of Israel coming and being these priests, it's the Lord made the Levites this. And so they're presented as the wave offering. And so that reminds us, it should remind us of Romans 12, which calls all of us, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are now, as those of the royal priesthood in Christ Jesus in union with Him, we are those who are to be sacrificed. It's no longer the firstborn. It's all of us. All are to be sacrificed. We are to sacrifice our bodies, it says. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And that includes all of yourself, whoever, who you are. In your very core of your being, including your bodies, is to be given to the Lord for the gospel, for the spread of the kingdom of God on earth. And so consider that and remember that when we come to 1 Chronicles this evening, Lord willing, and we will be challenged there to do this very thing. Let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful that you're a gracious God. And that you have given your Son, Jesus Christ, the firstborn among many brethren, as the sacrifice of our sins, that we would have life forever in Him. And yet, Father, you call us, as He is the firstborn, it's not just the firstborn that's sacrificed, but all of us are to be sacrificed to you. Not to be given over to death, that is, to be burned on an altar. And yet, Father, we ask, we do ask that you would make us to be spiritually and physically a sacrifice to you, that we would give all of ourselves to you. Your Son, you have given all of yourself to us. You did not spare your Son, but delivered him over so that we in him might have all things. And we have all things. We will always have all things. As those who are your children who have believed the gospel that Christ died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose from the dead on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, now exalted. Father, you have not spared him. You've delivered him over. You sacrificed him, the firstborn, and yet we follow after him now. He commands us to take up our cross and follow after him, and that means suffering. That means suffering in our bodies, that means sufferings in our minds, in our souls, our hearts, and our wills and our affections, even as we struggle with sin. But even as we sacrifice our lives, willing to risk all for the spread of the gospel throughout the world, just as those apostles in the early church, so many did. And they gave up their lives. As we look through church history, so many gave up their lives, burned at the stake, crucified upside down, and many people put to death imprisoned for the sake of the gospel. They understood this passage. They understood Romans 12, as we just read. They understood Romans 8. And Father, we ask that you would help us to really understand this, your word that we've considered this morning, and that we would offer ourselves a sacrifice, that we would give all for the sake of the gospel spreading on earth. Because we know those are the means that you've given to save your elect, to save your children, to bring them into the family of God. And even if we lose our life or lose our reputation, whatever it might be, Father, we do not lose the all things that we've been promised. And so, Father, we ask that you would comfort us in those promises found in your word, even the great promise we'll read this morning in Romans 8:28. Because we know in the very core of our being that you work all things together for the good of those who love you and those who are the called according to your purpose. And these things we consider this morning, our government, which, and our rulers, our authorities, whether local or state or federal. Father, we consider them who have put over us ungodly laws, and then some that are godly laws. Father, we ask that you would bring about in them the salvation, and that you would cause them to love you and be the called. We plead if that would be your will, so that we would be the recipients of even more blessing and grace and be protected, and that the gospel would flourish even more, even now as it is now suppressed in some ways and some contexts in our nation. And certainly in other nations, tried to be smothered out completely. Father, we ask for our nation and those nations, all nations, that they would come and they would bow the knee to Christ and kiss the Son, that they would align themselves and give all allegiance to Him, that we would not give our allegiance to our nation first and foremost. We would give our allegiance to Christ alone, above all. For He is the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. And so, Father, we ask for your mercy, because we know that as a nation, and many other nations are like this, we deserve judgment as a nation for the wickedness that is allowed, but also the wickedness that is acted upon, and breaking of the many and all the commandments of not worshiping you, of not worshiping you according to your word, even in the church, the many churches and congregations here. Father, we've taken your name in vain. People take your name in vain all the time, even we ourselves. We've broken the Lord's Day. There's still people working today that ought not to be working. It is not a matter of necessity or mercy. And yet we are thankful for those who are working, that we've been able to come today and worship you, and being protected, and having those in the hospitals other workers who are godly professions that work on the Lord's Day for our good, and so that we can worship you. And yet, Father, we ask for the many others who forsake you, perhaps even some in our congregation who are forsaking you. We ask that you would call them back to yourself, that they would assemble, not forsake the assembling together of your people. For this is where you bring about blessing for your people. And so we pray that you would move them to be made in the way of blessing, to come and worship with your people. Now, Father, we often try to make excuses on the Lord's Day of why we ought not to come and worship you. Father, may we put those excuses out of our minds and hearts, that we would, with joyous passion and zeal, want, no matter what, even in bad weather, that we would want to worship with your people, that we would do all we could to worship with your people and worship you. Though, of course, we understand the keeping of the sixth commandment in safety, yet we ask in our hearts that you would give us that desire, that we would try to get and go through all means, all circumstances, to be in worship with your people on the Lord's Day, and even with the angels and the great assembly in glory. Father, forgive us of our sins. We've committed the same sins as our nation and the nations. We're no different. Maybe it appears in different ways, and yet we try to make ourselves think it's better. It's not better. It's still sin in your sight. And so, Father, in all these things that we've prayed, we ask that you would receive us for Christ's sake, for his righteousness, for his sacrifice. See him and hear his pleadings, and we know that you do, and you answer them yes and amen. Father, we ask all these things, knowing that you're faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. For Christ's sake, we pray in his name. Amen.